Good morning, and God bless each of you. It's a privilege to gather together, and I'm thankful to be here with you. And look forward to a few hymns this morning, brushing up and learning. Before we go further, would we have any prayer requests? I'm thankful for those that are here this morning that were sick and well.
Jimmy at the nursing home.
Okay, praying for Jimmy. Amen. Why don't we remember Corbin and Meg? They're on the countdown now to getting married. That they would look before they leave. And that God would bless them. Any other? Well, let's stand to pray. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Chris, would you lead us this morning?
Lord, thank you for this morning that you give us. That you do for us, bless us with, for each one of these young people here today, that you just lead and guide their steps through life, and come be faithful to you and resist the temptations of the world. Be with us in the service this morning. This is your name.
Amen. Stay up. There you go. Are you ready? Okay. Number one. Young men, I'd be on the combine harvesting corn, trying to keep that, those rows, you know, the points on those, the front points there, make sure they're going in the center, making sure those rows are coming right in the middle of that corn head. And I had my hymn book here right beside me, and I memorized and memorized and memorized hymns so that I wouldn't be stuck in church or at a baptism or wherever. Of course, we didn't have baptisms down by the creek. We usually had our hymn books right close by. But so we wouldn't be stuck needing to read. Let's see. You see, it's a good thing to memorize. And I enjoyed, it just ate me up not to get to a point as I was singing a hymn by memory and just making that cab of the combine just ring. It just ate me up if I didn't remember some words. So that's why I had the book here to brush up and remember and memorize a little bit. Start to finish. Start to finish, not just through the day, humming a little bit. Sing! Okay. Because that's what a life, a joyful life is about. It includes singing, and not just in chorus time, not just at the old people's home, not just in church, but singing for the Lord, going about our labors. 37. Here's another beginning hymn, beginning a worship service, or beginning a chorus time. We start on a high do, and we say, "Hail to the brightness of Zion's glad morning, when Jesus came, and the hope of his future reign, the hope of him coming with 10,000s of his saints, and being able to be a part of that joyful event, the marriage supper of the Lamb." How do we pronounce wastes rise in what? How do we pronounce it?
Verger.
Verger. And it means?
Greenery.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, greenery.
Oh,
Side. It won't get so greasy. It won't get so dirty. And brush up. When you come to that point in your song that you just don't quite remember the words, there it is. Let's turn over here to In Heavenly Love Abiding. We have a new tune, new to some of us, In Heavenly Love Abiding. You see who wrote it? Who wrote the words? Who wrote the words? One of you, first two rows here. What's the first name of the person who wrote the words? Yes, Anna. That's right. Anna Letitia Waring was born in 1823. And she was born Quaker, but was then baptized into the Anglican Church, Church of England. And Anna Waring had a father and an uncle who both published hymn books. They enjoyed singing so much. It was just natural for her to begin writing verse. She said, verse writing was always a pleasant diversion to me. So this one was written in 1850. See, 1823 to 1850, she was 20-some years old. And then Scott, who writes about her, said that she typifies a conventional Victorian view of womanhood. She was pious, reserved, and given to good works. I'll say it again. That Victorian view of womanhood. What was the Victorian era? When was that? Does anyone remember?
In the 1830s and the 1901.
Wouldn't it have even begun a little sooner than the 1830s?
Yeah, maybe the 20s.
When did Queen Victoria begin her reign?
Somewhere around.
I consider the 1800s as the Victorian era. Named after Queen Victoria of England. And so she typified that conventional Victorian view of womanhood. Pious, reserved, and given to good works. She became a part of the deeply involved in the Discharged Prisoners Aid Society. Prisoners that were let out of prison, they didn't know what to do. They sometimes naturally went back to their evil deeds. And she became involved in trying to help them get out of that, help them do better. And she said this about her work in that. It was like watching by a filthy gutter to pick out a jewel here and there as the foul stream flows by. Did you ever try to look for a needle in a haystack or something good in a garbage pile? That's what she said. She wrote the hymn, Father, I know that all my life is portioned out for me. The changes that are sure to come, I do not ask to see. Content. I forget the rest. Need my book. But we may include that someday, that hymn. And she didn't write just hymns like this all the time. She was known for a lighthearted piece that she wrote on her cat, about her cat. She was never married. And this is one of the things I really like that it says about her. She was compassionate. She had a compassionate and reflective personality and a good sense of humor. Let's sing this. You can stand. We're going to do the notes first. Everybody on soprano. Let's practice our sight reading here.
Changes here. The storm may roar with thy
sands of time are sinking. Who all knows this one? Raise your hand. We'll get it. Notice one of the most outstanding words or syllables in this hymn is in Emmanuel's land. In Emmanuel's land. The climax is, and glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Don't forget the last verse to change that to, of Emmanuel's land. That stands out tremendously because of what it says previously. The land is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Get that out there. Get that word out there. This, I don't know, I feel the prickles already. Let's go. I was going to bring a little hourglass and set it here. The sands of time are sinking. There's an end of time coming. It gets all. It gets empty. The top part. It's gone. Everything in the bottom. Little hourglass.
The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn outside. For the fair sweet morn awaits. Dark hath been the midnight, but spring is at hand, and glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land.
I wanted to comment. After dwelleth, after the word dwelleth, you don't get to take a breath. You go right through there. Right through. Don't take a breath. Don't stop and take a breath there. Let's go right through. Dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. It's all one thought. I'm going to go right through with it. Verse 2. Makes it allowable to take a quick breath there, and you're ready to go.
Three. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine.
The bride has not to go. Last week we're supposed to get out of our sin Proverbs and that we like and tell why we like it and memorize it. And I thought about it. It's Proverbs 14, verse 28. The command of the Lord is a fountain of life, for it turneth one away from the snare of death. And I like that because it shows how much power he has over us and the control he has.
Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm.
I thought we were supposed to get out of Psalms. So I got Psalm 71, verse 1. We will give thanks, O God, to thee, O God. And we will give thanks and call upon your name. And I like that verse because it reminds us to give thanks to God.
Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2. My son, honor the Lord, and you will be strong, and fear none other but him. And I was reading in the other parts, like the son without discernment and various other parts like that, and then I saw that verse and it's just, as my son honors the Lord and just do right, and it's a blessing.
Wisdom is more valuable than precious stones, and no evil can withstand it. I think it's in the second chapter, I can't remember the verse of Psalms, but it just says that wisdom is one of the main things that a man needs to have. And if he doesn't have wisdom, he doesn't have much.
Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth keeps his soul. He who is hasty with his lips will dismay himself, and I need to learn to not speak out of turn and not talk too much.
Proverbs 16:30, a patient man is better than a strong man, and he who controls his temper is better than he who captures a city. I just need to work on my temper a little bit. I can just let it get away from me.
Proverbs 10:13, a son with understanding is saved from a heat,
but a lawless son is battered by the winds. And rebellion takes you down a path you don't want to go.
Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. The lips of a man without discernment lead him unto death, and a man with a rash mouth leads him to destruction, and the lips are a snare to a man's soul.
I got the same one as Chad. Proverbs 16, 30. A patient man is better than a strong man, and a man with mercy is better than a... I couldn't remember the last part of it. But anyway, I need to work on being patient and more merciful. That was what stuck out to me.
I had Proverbs 24, verse, I think, 31 through 39, I think is what it is. And once I get started, I'll be able to do it. Prepare your works for your going forth, and prepare yourself for the field. And walk behind me, and you shall build up your house. Do not be a false witness against your neighbor, neither open wide your lips. Do not say, I will treat him as he treated me. I will avenge myself on him wherein he has wronged me. A man without discernment is like a field. A man in need of discernment is like a vineyard. If you leave it alone, it will remain dry and barren, altogether covered with grass and forsaken. And its stone wall will be raised to the ground. I meant to bring my Bible up because I wanted to read the rest of it, but... let me see here. Something about I considered, and somebody have a Bible in your room? I'm just going to read it. I'm working on the memory. But okay. Prepare your work. This is Proverbs 24, 31 through 39. Prepare your works for your going forth, and prepare yourself for the field. Walk behind me, and you shall build up your house. Do not be a false witness against your countryman, neither open wide your lips. Do not say, I will treat him as he treated me, and I will avenge myself on him wherein he wronged me. A man without discernment is like a field. A man in need of discernment is like a vineyard. If you leave it alone, it will remain dry and barren, altogether covered with grass and forsaken. And its stone walls will be raised to the ground. Afterward I repented, I observed that I might choose instruction. I doze a little, I sleep a little, I fold my arm across my chest a little. If you do this, your poverty shall go before you and want like a strong runner. And the biggest thing that stood out to me there is these verses about do not be a false witness against your countryman. Neither open wide your lips, do not say, I will treat him as he treated me, and I shall avenge myself on him wherein he wronged me. And then right after that, it talks about a man without discernment being like a field and a vineyard. And I just thought about how being merciful, like David has preached a lot about this, being merciful to each other and those who wrong us, and that's the main thing. In judgment, we're going to be judged by our mercy toward other people. And so that thought in the light of, you know, a man without discernment being like a field or a vineyard, we've got to work on it. It's just like we have to work on our whatever we're working at, our job or our garden, anything that requires work. We've just got to work at it. And it's the same thing with showing mercy and godliness. We've got to work on it. And so that really, of course, I like the part about the vineyard because I like gardening and stuff. So it's kind of a neat memory verse. I got Proverbs 10:2. It says, treasures do not benefit the lawless, but righteousness will redeem from death. And I like that because
says how we could have the whole world, but none of that will matter in the end. But righteousness is what redeems from death.
Proverbs 17, verse 19, let a friend be with you on every occasion, and let brethren be useful in necessities, for they are begotten for this reason. That's neat. We're just, that's what brethren are for. We just help each other and be a friend and be with each other, and it's a real blessing.